Lord's mercy is on you.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen.
A prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to our series entitled Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, A Prophet for Our Times. We're filming in the beautiful church of St. Agnes on East 43rd Street in Manhattan, a church where Bishop Sheen frequently came to preach. And this is a good setting to talk about one of the most important themes about Bishop Sheen's life, and that was that he was a great convert maker. They once asked him, Bishop Sheen, how are we going to renew the church? And he said, make converts. There's an old saying that converts make better Catholics. Maybe because they have a sense in their lives of what it was to not have had Christ in their life, not have known Him, not have known the Church or the sacraments, and then after finding Him, they realize that they have found a great treasure. And so they become enthusiastic for their faith. They never take it for granted. They appreciate it with a deep sense of appreciation. And I believe he was very, very correct in saying that that is a way to renew the church, because it brings in people with an enthusiasm, a vitality, to want others to find the faith that they have found. He used to like the example of St. Paul, who worked so ardently, with such zeal for the salvation of souls. But he was careful never to credit himself with being the one who made these converts. He knew that conversion was the work of God. He once said, I do not make converts. He said, grace makes converts. And it would be a blasphemy to take credit for the work that God has done. And furthermore, he said, if I kept a record of the number of converts, I might begin to believe that I made them. Then I should begin to lose all my influence over souls.
He tells this story himself, which I think is in Dr. Reeve's book, about the woman who came to the cathedral to steal purses. And she listened to the bishop's talk, and she said that last thing about the good thief got to me. And she was poor, and she had not led a very good life. But from then on, the bishop kept that woman, and he gave her money and provision, and she just died maybe 5 years ago, and the priest who cared for her, she lived in the islands. She went down where it was far away from all the temptations of New York, and lived a very, very holy life.
Well, he was famous for his converts, but what people don't know are the little people. And I was able to find a number of them who talked to me, and there were many, many, many thousands of people who came to him. And he said his door was always open, and it was, and he gave untold numbers of people instruction into the church. So it wasn't just the famous people, Henry Ford II, who later became a lapsed Catholic. It was the little people he loved and helped all his life.
So he realized it was truly the grace of God that touched the hearts of people. Because he was on the Catholic Hour during the 1930s and 40s on radio, they estimated that his listening audience was about 4 million. As a result of that, many people would contact him and tell him that they wanted to enter the church as converts. And he set up places both in New York, generally at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and also in Washington, D.C. He had centers where these potential converts would come to be instructed. And sometimes he had as many as 500 people under instruction at any one time. He also had people appointed who would carry out the instructions with these converts.
Unlike other busy people, he had a long string of people who came to him personally, privately, and he instructed them in the Catholic faith and received them into the Catholic faith. He did that all his life.
He had a great number of people entering the church. In fact, Newsweek magazine doing an article on him entitled him a convert specialist. But he had not only numbers of converts, but he had some very outstanding converts. One of them was a man by the name of Heywood Braun, who was a journalist and a columnist, and Bishop Sheen converted him to the Catholic faith. But perhaps his two most outstanding converts were Claire Booth Luce, who was a congresswoman and also a she was a representative of the United States. She was an ambassador to the Vatican. And also, Claire Booth Luce was the wife of Henry Luce, who owned the Time Life magazine enterprise, certainly a very influential and rather wealthy person. And Bishop Sheen converted her. He was having dinner with her and her family, and he began to talk about the goodness of God. At that point, Claire Booth Luce stood up and she said, "If God is so good, then why did he take my daughter?" Her daughter had died in a car accident a short time before. And Bishop Sheen answered her. He said, it was in order that through your sorrow, you might be here now starting instructions to know Christ and to know his church. In other words, Bishop Sheen was using the approach that God allows even the tragedies of our lives to bring some good out of it. Even the death of her daughter by an accident led Claire Booth Luce to embrace the faith, to begin to search for answers. He used to say there's only two kinds of people in the world. He says those who have found Christ and those who are still searching for him. And so even though she didn't know it, Claire Booth Luce was looking for Christ. She was looking for an answer in her moment of sorrow. Another famous convert that he had was a man by the name of Louis Boudens. He was a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party. In fact, he was in charge of the Communist Party here in the United States. And he was trying to influence Bishop Sheen, who was a great opponent of communism, spoke out about its evils. He was trying to get Bishop Sheen to tone this down. And so there was, at Bishop Sheen's request, there was a meeting, a dinner, between he and Louis Boudens. And when he got to the dinner, Boudens wanted to talk about, you know, Marx and Lenin and so on, communism, and get, again, Bishop Sheen to tone down his anti-communist stance. Instead, Bishop Sheen said to him, "I didn't come here to talk to you about economics or politics." He said, "I came here to talk to you about the state of your soul." Well, Boudens got so upset, he left the table. 7 years later, he called Bishop Sheen back, and he said, "I'm ready to talk about the state of my soul." And later on, Bishop Sheen received him into the Catholic Church. And I believe that they actually had to put Bishop Sheen in a secure place, even a kind of a hideout for a little while, because there was so much bitterness from the Communist Party against them, against him leading Boudens out of the Communist Party back into the Catholic Church. He had been a Catholic at one time and had lapsed away. Bishop Sheen, you know, he not only touched the lives of very famous people, but some very ordinary people. Sometimes there were people he met just in passing.
There was a girl about 23, 24. I said, "Are you following me?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" She said, "I don't know. I saw you this afternoon in procession, and I just decided I wanted to talk to you." I said, "Are you here on pilgrimage?" "No." She said, "I'm an atheist." "Oh," I said, "you're not an atheist. You probably have fallen away from the church." "Well," she said, "I came down with a group of atheists. There were 60 of us. We hired a bus in Holland." I said, "Where are they?" "Well," she said, "they took a trip in the Pyrenees today, and I just stayed behind. Incidentally, the bus fell off a bridge and they were all killed. But we didn't know that until later on." And finally, she received the sacraments.
So he had great converts, and Many of them became outstanding Catholics. His approach was summed up by what he called his three principles for converts: kindness, kindness, kindness. That was his approach. He used to say it was better to lose 1,000 arguments than to lose one soul. He never forced himself. You know, he only would draw people by his own sincerity, by carefully explaining the faith to them, because he realized that many people are kept from the Catholic faith, as well as many Catholics leaving the faith, not because of what the Church actually taught, but because of what these people thought the Catholic Church taught. In fact, he made the statement, he said, if I believed what 90% of the people who leave the Catholic Church believed that the Church was actually teaching, he said, I would leave with them. So he understood that kindness overcame many of the prejudices and invited people to embrace the faith. One of his quotes, he says that years ago, sort of sums up how he looked at convert making. He said, years ago, souls were brought to a belief in God by the order of the universe. You could find out God exists through the beauty and the order of what he created around us. But he said, today, souls are brought to God by disorder within themselves. It is less the beauty of creation and more the coiling of the serpents within the human breast which bring them to seek repose in Christ. Oftentimes, what appears to be a doctrinal objection against the faith turns out to be a moral objection. Most people basically do not have trouble with the creed, but with the commandments. Not so much with what the Church teaches as with how the Church asks us to behave. Or as he said in another place, he said, people don't become heretics for what they want to believe. He said they become heretics for the way they want to live. And how profound an insight that is. We're going to look at another aspect of his convert making when we return.
Acclaim Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh gladly, and come into his presence with songs of joy. Know that he, Yahweh, is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people. Walk through his porticos giving thanks, and enter his courts praising him. Give thanks to him, and bless his name. Yes, Yahweh is good, and his love is everlasting. His faithfulness endures from age to age.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. You know, we've been talking about Archbishop Fulton Sheen's ability as a convert maker. As he said, all the credit, though, belongs to God. He was only the instrument. But conversion is not always a matter of going from a different religion to the Catholic faith. Sometimes it's a conversion of one's own life to a better place. Sometimes it's a turning back to God. And he certainly had many of those converts. He used to, in his retreats to priests, he would mention instances when he would be on an airplane and he would start talking to people and affect their lives, hear confessions right on an airplane. He also had a keen insight into human nature. A woman wrote to him one time and she said, you know, my son is he's not doing anything with his life. He has no faith. He doesn't believe in God and so on. What can I do? Well, Bishop Sheen said, you probably would have thought that I asked her to get him to begin to pray. He said, that wasn't the first thing I asked. The first thing he said I asked this woman to do, to tell her son, was to do something for someone else. In other words, get himself off his focus on himself. Today in modern society, we have such a narcissism of self-focus. We can hardly recognize the people who are in need around us. And he illustrated with a little story what he meant. It was a story about a doctor in India who was reading in the newspaper that in nearby Nepal, where the Himalaya Mountains are, there were a lot of people who were suffering sicknesses and even dying because of a lack of medical care. He was a doctor. So he was moved by the article to go to Nepal and volunteer his services for the people living in those mountain villages. He got the help of a guide, and with this guide, they were going from village to village. Now, they were carrying all their supplies with them as they were going up the mountain trails, and from time to time, they had to stop to rest. Well, they made one of their little rest stops on the tiny path along the mountainside, and as they were sitting there, resting, they could hear moaning and groaning. And they looked over the side of the cliff there, the path, and about 50 feet below them was a man who probably had fallen, stumbled, and fell as he was coming down the trail, the mountain trail, and he had fallen down and was severely hurt. And the doctor said to the guide, "We have to go down and rescue this man." And the guide said, "Rescue this man?" He said, "I'm so exhausted, I can't take another step." He said, "You go down and rescue him." The doctor said, "Well, that's why I came." So the doctor went down while the guide remained with their gear. And the doctor reached the man who had fallen off from the path. And when he got to him, the man was in such bad shape that he realized, if I don't get this man back to the village we just left, in a hurry, he's going to die from his wounds, from his injuries, and at the same time probably die from exposure to the cold there on the side of the mountain. So he put this man, he hoisted him up onto his shoulder, and with all the strength he had, he began to carry the man back to the little town they had just left. And it seemed to him that it was taking every ounce of strength, sapping every ounce of strength that he had. But he made it back to the town. He was able to provide for this man, to get him a warm place to stay, some medical attention that he needed, and the man's life was saved. And then the doctor went back up the path to where the guide was waiting for him. And when he got there, he found that the guide had died. Died from exposure to the wind, died because he was doing nothing. And Bishop Sheen said, it's just like the gospel, that the one who gives has more, and the one who doesn't give loses even the little they have. And so he knew that sometimes a prerequisite to conversion of heart is the beginning of turning away from self-centeredness and reaching out to other people. He also had a very keen insight into people. He tells another story in one of his retreats about how a man came to him that was very troubled. Actually, it was his sister who had recommended Bishop Sheen to talk to her brother. Now, he was a very busy man, and he told the woman, he said, "I don't have a lot of time. I will give your brother 1 hour of my time." So the man came to see Bishop Sheen, and Bishop Sheen said to the man, "Just talk to me for 1 hour, say anything you want to say." For 45 minutes, rather. So the man went on rambling for 45 minutes. And at the end of those 45 minutes, Bishop Sheen said to the man who was very troubled, he said, "Now, how much money did you steal?" And the man said to Bishop Sheen, I didn't steal any money." And Bishop Sheen said again, "How much money did you steal?" And the man said, Bishop, I didn't mention stealing any money." And the bishop said to him a third time, "How much money did you steal?" And the man said, "I stole $50,000. And he said, "How did you know I stole money?" And the bishop said, "Because you said every time you put money into the collection basket, you first cleaned it. It was dirty money. So it had to have been gotten in a dirty way. And I'm sure that that man must have made a good confession after that, huh?
But I remember from one of these tapes an extraordinary case of two business partners. One who was a devout Catholic, and the other was lax in his faith. And one suddenly became mortally ill with a terminal illness. And Bishop Sheen was a friend of the practicing Catholic, was asked to go and visit the man in the hospital. And he went, as he often did. And the man didn't want to speak to him. He didn't want to have his confession heard. He was very, very rigid in his obstinacy relative to even speaking about his faith. Bishop Sheen came back the next night. And he spoke to him of God's love and God's mercy. And that all we have to say is that we're sorry. That's all God wants from us. Sorrow from our heart. And he's flooding us with the grace to be sorry and speak from our heart in these times when we're so ill. But he was disappointed because the man would not let him hear his confession. And he left. And in the morning he called in and spoke to the nurse to see how he was doing. And she said, he died this morning. Bishop Sheen, did he say anything? Yes. Over and over. My Jesus, mercy. My Jesus, mercy. God love you.
But his converts were not only, again, those in moral difficulty or even those coming to the true faith, but he even touched the lives of people. Perhaps one story that stands out was the conversion of a man by the name of Paul Scott. He was 18 years old. It was on Halloween night that Bishop Sheen met a group of children playing trick-or-treat. They were dressed up in their costumes, and under the light of a lamp, a street light, there was one young man with a very disfigured face. And his friends said to Bishop Sheen, he doesn't need a mask. These were very cruel words about this young fella, Paul Scott, 18 years of age. He was numb with rage and bitterness when he heard this. All of this was hurt and humiliation and welled up into a kind of fury and despair within him. He came to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Though he wasn't a Catholic, he went in and he remembered he had heard of Bishop Sheen and his great work for leper converts. He went to see Bishop Sheen. He said, I've come to see you because I have no one else to turn to. I haven't a friend in the world. And Bishop Sheen said, you have now. And he said, you will never be without friends. You'll not have many of them, he said, but the ones you'll have will be true friends. And he invited Paul Scott to come and have dinner with him once a week. Because it was difficult for Paul even to use his hands due to his leprosy, the bishop would cut the meat for him and help him to eat his meal. He even found an apartment for Paul and furnished it with whatever was needed. Later on, Paul became a Catholic, and slowly his bitterness disappeared. There were times, though, that he still suffered from loneliness, and Bishop Sheen said, friendship is like most things of value, he said. It's not easily found. But there is value even in loneliness. And it will help you to appreciate the importance of friendship when it comes to you. And so he reached out in kindness to this young boy who was a leper in New York and helped later on even to pay for plastic surgery so that he could live a more normal life in the city. That was the kindness that motivated Bishop Sheen. He was sensitive to people in their suffering. And I believe it was that sensitivity that moved him to have such great compassion for all in need, especially the compassion to seek their their salvation by coming to the truth in Christ and by coming to moral goodness through the mercy of Jesus. May the Lord give you His peace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.